powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, Revelation 18, verse 3. Revelation 18, 3. We should be getting our air conditioning fixed Monday morning. It's working in the other part of the church, but there's something up in the attic that's not right. And they couldn't work on it because it's too blank hot up there for anybody to stay up there over 15 minutes. And they've got to go through all the wires and figure out which one isn't working. And there's a bunch of them. So anyway, that's our test for the day corporately. Somebody told me a funny. I had a church member back in the day. He's in heaven now. And when we go through tests and various things, he'd say, "Jack, you brought us out into this wilderness to kill us." So let's take the usual time to prepare ourselves for our study this morning. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We thank you that our faith in Jesus Christ has overcome the doom of the cosmos. Furthermore, we thank you that you have continued to provide for us an open door, an opportunity to hear the word of truth this side of phase three. Bless this Bible class to that end. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, with chapter 18, we're dealing with the doctrine of the United States and prophecy. This is a big topic, a really big topic, for a number of reasons. There is a lot of scripture devoted to it, not just this 18th chapter. There's a lot of in the Old Testament as well that we have been through in our history. We'll have occasion to notice some of the things here. So what we've seen here in Revelation is that on the earth at the time of the end, there are two Babylons. The first one is religious. It is the ultimate counterfeit version of Christianity. It's the Roman Catholic system. It will be taken down, wiped out, eliminated, as hard as that is to believe, by the Antichrist, as he will tolerate no other religion. None. No politician today could get by with getting up and saying anything close to that. He will. It'll be right out in the face of everybody, certainly in Europe. He tolerates no other religion. His plan is to eliminate them all. Of course, he won't. But that's his plan. And he starts with taking down the Catholic Church in Europe. Completely plundering it and slaughtering the clergy, so-called. That's the first Babylon. That's the woman riding on the beast with seven heads. If you've been here, you know what I'm talking about. This is a part of divine revelation. The seven kingdoms that are mentioned there, beginning with Egypt, all of them had a close relationship with Israel. All you got to do is read the Old Testament and New and find out that Israel, well, Egypt, they came up out of Egypt. They had various wars with Egypt. Assyria took the northern kingdom into captivity. Assyria was a great empire. It went down, like all empires, to the Persian Empire. It went down to the Babylonian Empire. I misspoke. the Babylonian Empire. The Babylonian Empire took the southern kingdom into captivity. The empire of Nebuchadnezzar. Following that, we have the Persian Empire of Cyrus the Great. And the role that they played in the history of Israel. And that empire gave way to the Greek Empire of Alexander the Great. And then, of course, number six is the Roman Empire. And it went down. It had the longest history. It had the greatest outreach. But it went down. Went by the wayside. Head number seven, with the ten horns, represent the revived Roman Empire. Western Europe. I don't know which all of the ten nations, but obviously we can think immediately the prominent nations of Western Europe. Germany, France, Spain, Italy, Greece, and so forth. And that is the and then the little horn that comes up in the midst of them, that's the rise of the Antichrist from the dead, from hell. It brought back and is on earth. This is going to be mind-boggling. It'll occur the minute the rapture occurs. He will appear in dramatic fashion and be able to prove without any question, scientifically, who he is, based on DNA. Now, the Babylon of chapter 18 is a political, economic colossus. And in our history here at Maranatha Church, as noted before, 50 years ago, 1976, I first taught the doctrine of the United States in prophecy. I didn't get any hell from it. I didn't get any, there could have been a person here and there who didn't like it. But I never got any large rejection of it. People took it like you're supposed to take doctrine. And so here we are 50 years later, getting ready to celebrate our 250th anniversary of our Declaration of Independence from England. And we're dealing with the same subject. A coincidence? I didn't plan it. It's just where we got today. All right. This angel that comes down out of heaven, having all this authority, will make a pronouncement to the entire earth. Babylon, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become, this is the internal condition of our country. She has become something. A dwelling place of demons. Demons are attracted to corruption. And a prison of every unclean spirit. There's different types of prisons, you know. There's the standard one, taking a criminal off the street and putting him behind bars. Then there's other types of prisons. Addictions. Various things of that nature. It's a prison. An inordinate love of the wrong things. Money. Fame. All of it. An addiction. It's a prison. You're here in Maranatha Church to learn the truth, to set you free from spiritual enslavement. Set you free. So you're not caught up in all this mess that's out there. That you live your life before the Lord, putting your trust in Him and claiming His promises. You know what they are, don't you? The same for all of us. But you've got to apply these things. It's a prison of every unclean spirit. And a prison of every unclean and despicable bird. That's humans. Boy, do we got them today in spades. They are everywhere. It's reported in the news constantly. All of the atrocities and corruptions that exist out there among the general American population. It's crazy. Oh, we've always had problems and always had things, but now it's just ramped way up. You ask yourself sometime, he did what? So he could spend the rest of his life in a prison? And what did he gain out of it? He killed his parents. Wow. This is going on all over the place. Now we move to verse 3. This is the indictment part of it that has to do with our influence over the nations outside the United States. For all the nations, without exception, for all the nations have drunk of the wine of the passion, thumos, of the passion of her immorality. And the kings of the earth, that'd be the rulers, and the kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her. The highest political leaders of the earth have committed acts of immorality. And the merchants of the earth, that class of people, the merchants of the earth have become rich. A merchant is an emporos, one who travels for trade. Translated, merchants of the earth have become rich, pluteo, to become rich or be rich, by the wealth of her sensuality. The wealth of her sensuality. This is a noun that only occurs once. Tuneos, it means luxury. The luxury of her sensuality. They just translate with the word wealth. One. The conjunction for denotes the reason for the overthrow of economic Babylon. This woman has prostituted herself among the nations, affecting adversely both national populations and the earth's rulers. This is not a good report on the part of American foreign policy, is it? And the influence over the other nations. Our cultural ideas and concepts have spread far and wide. Like the great harlot of chapter 17, this woman has played the harlot, and as a result, aroused divine wrath. It's not easy to absolutely define everything. There's a lot involved in the history of our foreign policy and relationship with the various nations. I mean, it would fill volumes. We did this here and so forth. So I'll just touch on a few things. The noun thumos, translated passion, in the phrase, the wine of the passion of her immorality, could be translated wrath. Since this noun signifies a strong emotion, it probably is best to leave it passion rather than taking it as divine wrath. Wine is here used of that which makes the nations drunk, intoxicated. Basically, it is the stimulant that has the nations hooked on American largess, for an aid. Whose idea was that? With strings attached, naturally. Foreign aid, your tax dollars at work, and a host of other monetary gimmicks. And all this, all the ills associated with international aid, the carrot and stick approach. The exact same phrase is used by the angel in Revelation 14:8, announcing the reason for the fall of America. American foreign policy is immoral, corrupt. When it's all boiled down, oh, it's all laced with human good and all the other kind of things. We did not remain separate and aloof. We tied ourselves involved with the politics and all the rest of it of the other nations. We also spread our culture far and wide. Like the deal when they have Jazz Month. Born in America, spread to all the nations. I'm not against jazz, I'm just saying it was an illustration. It isn't that we engage in commerce with the nations. That's perfectly legitimate. It is our manipulation of their internal affairs that constitutes immorality. Organizations like the World Bank, the IMF, and a lot of host of others that is working to weaken national independence and self-sufficiency. American tax dollars are at work undermining national independence. Everywhere one turns, there is the American dollar intoxicating the nations. 4:13, national leaders around the world have willingly fornicated with economic Babylon rather than maintaining their independence. Those who refuse to play the game are targeted for regime change. If a ruler plays along with the U.S., then he and his country receives various financial perks. Read the book, Confessions. Oh, this is a good one. You can get it, you probably get it on Amazon. The title of the book, Confessions of an Economic Hitman. How about that for a title? This guy is doing a tell-all in his own personal experience. As an economic what? Hitman. The most brutal regimes have benefited from American largess. Soviet Russia, which I've mentioned many times. When the Soviets were killing their own people, shutting down all forms of Christianity, during the time of Hitler and all the rest, what were we doing? Standing aloof from them and saying, this is awful what you're doing to your own people and we're cutting off relations with you? No. We had lend-lease. Communism is a very pathetic economic system. So, we're keeping the monster going. I remember the picture with Nixon and Kissinger establishing good relations with Mao of China. He killed millions. A mass murderer as one of the kings of the earth, rulers of the earth. It goes on and on. You can't even begin to imagine the degree of this. But they paint a rosy picture and we're the good guys. We're the white hats. No, we aren't. Things are quite different than what the cosmos reports. The most brutal regimes have benefited from American largesse. Communist China, Russia, and so forth. If American enticements are refused, then that nation is a target. And of course, we want to get over there and get their oil and get their whatever. Their natural resources. The three categories of humanity specified in this verse are kings, and merchants. Populations signified by the term nations are said to be made drunk with the wine of the wrath of her immorality. They're caught up in it. It's like I said, I cannot do justice to all of this. I can just report and give you examples. In the previous chapter, the Roman Catholic Church, RCC, makes populations drunk with Catholic dogma, spreading it all over the place, made drunk with the wine of her immorality, misrepresenting God and His plan, and spreading the Catholic religion far and wide. She is the self-proclaimed queen who dispenses wine from the cup in her hand, representing her evil doctrines. The RCC engages in a kind of internationalism, being a religious entity. The USA engages in political and economic internationalism, seeking to establish a new world order. When World War I ended, they tried to get this League of Nations going in Europe. The U.S. leadership, our Senate, top people, they wouldn't join. Good for them. It's a bright spot. The whole thing collapsed. But at the end of World War II, we put the U.N. over here. Rockefeller dedicated the land to it. The area up there where the UN and all those buildings are, that was up before then. It was where they slaughtered animals. And he took the land and donated it to this the United Nations. The second category, point 24, reference in this verse is the kings of the earth, the top rulers, who are supposed to protect their nations against all forms of aggression, not just military. There's other ways to wage war on people. Mostly they fail and commit acts of fornication with the U.S. In so doing, they betray the people they are responsible for. Just like the rulers in chapter 17, there results in an illicit relationship. Both women pretend to be virtuous. Of course they do. They promote themselves. We're the good guys. Both are immoral. And both will be judged for their immorality. Third category, merchants, is absent from the previous chapter. Both women are wealthy, but the two have achieved their wealth differently. The merchants in this verse refers to foreign merchants rather than American businessmen. These merchants will be especially distraught. They are absolutely going to come apart. When America is overthrown, it's coming up in verse 11 and 15. They're like pulling their hair out. Because I've seen pictures of various ports where they come in with their ships to bring their stuff over here. Wow. It's a lot. On the West Coast and the East Coast. They're bringing their stuff to America. They're trading. They're making lots of money. The merchants of economic Babylon are mentioned in verse 23 as being the mighty men of the earth. This great city, quote unquote, as it is called in this chapter, has a counterpart in the ancient kingdom of Tyre. Remember that maybe from the past in our teaching? In fact, the Phoenicians of Tyre are renowned for their trading prowess. And the city-state located on the island of Tyre, just off the coast, engaged in economic internationalism. They weren't just trading and moving stuff around. They were trying to they were influencing other nations. Again, another form of aggression rather than just brutal military. They were involved in this. God used and they had a big wall. They lived on this island. They thought they were, nobody could touch them. Well, Alexander took them down. He ended it. He ended their history. And there was a prophecy that Tyre, the island, the little rock island out there, would be a place where fishermen dried their nets. Went from this economic powerhouse to that. Isaiah chapter 23 is the prophecy of the demise of this commercial empire and her demise. You might say that Tyre was a type of the United States. Similar. I'm sure other nations have a similar type of approach. Sometimes I think our nation mimicked England in its heyday, where they went all over with their ships to all the places, India, everywhere. And they used their military too. But they went by the wayside. They went down. They lost their... And the U.S. rose up. So her situation parallels that of the United States in certain respects. History repeats itself. Many, quote, have become rich through the strength of her luxuriousness. The noun translated sensuality here appears only here in the New Testament. The idea is that of self-indulgence with accompanying arrogance. With great wealth often comes impudence. A lot of money makes people act a certain way, in many cases. An unruliness arising from superabundance. We're above everything. We're rich. That must mean we're the good guys. And so the cognate verb here occurs two times in Revelation 18, 7 and 9. It means to live in an indulgent fashion with all the corresponding vices. Spiritual things, true spiritual things, it's not even on their agenda. So it is her sensuality in the form of super wealth that has made these foreign merchants wealthy and dependent. They're going to have the rug pulled out from under them when the cash cow is destroyed in 1 hour of one day. The second pronouncement here in verse 4 that the angel makes is telling believers to get out of here, to exit the United States, or die in the Holocaust. So, while that's not going to be, quote, fun, they'll have a window of opportunity to get out of this country and go back to the country, if possible, where their ancestors came from. They'll be told, and we'll have a lesson on staying in the geographical will of God, not dumping the geographical will of God, which for us in the church age, it means to live in relative proximity to a bona fide, functioning local church. You're not just free to go anywhere. I mean, you are free to do it, but not and be in the will of God. You make the local church and the intake of doctrine under pastor teacher, you build everything, you fit everything in with that. How you make a living, where you live geographically, and so forth. And if you don't, then you make efforts to get there and be a part of it. The thinking is out there today, oh, I can just sit out here and listen to tapes. Well, I say tapes. That's ancient history. I can listen online. I can do this. Guess what? You are not interacting with other members of the royal family who are like-minded, are you? Oh, you can talk to them online, text them, but you're not functioning under your spiritual gift as a member of the body. What good would your little finger be doing if you chopped it off and threw it over on a table? It's still your little finger. We're all part of a body, and to be a part of a local church, come what may. All right, I'm going to let you go. I'm not doing it because I'm miserable. I just don't. I'll let you go, and see you Tuesday. We'll get this thing fixed. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.